Somebody, one Sunday when we were going to have a meal after the service, they said, "No preacher, keep the sermon short because we got food to eat." And I said, "I will assure you, you don't need to remind me." I want to talk to you briefly about a Thanksgiving challenge issued by the Apostle Paul. The text is simple. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. God desires that we be a thankful people, not a complaining people. God desires that we see what He's doing and active rather than see all the mess around us. So I'm going to be challenging you today to develop that attitude that only God can change in your life, of being thankful in the midst of your struggles. Now, before we get to the actual sermon, when you think about Thanksgiving, is the first thing you think of the food? How many people think of food for Thanksgiving? It's okay, let's be honest. It's all right. How many of you think about the game? I do. I like to watch football on Thanksgiving. How many of you honestly think or remember the first Thanksgiving? Our pilgrims, after such devastation, still pause to give thanks and praise to their provider. Or have you ever thought about our leaders, godly, who established Thanksgiving? George Washington recommended to the people Thanksgiving, but between Washington and Lincoln, it was off and on. But when Lincoln came on the scene, a godly man said, "We need to dedicate this day to the Lord for Thanksgiving." And that is why you have the holiday off. It is not just to have fun. It is a day to pause and give thanks to God. So with that, let's get into a very simple message today. I've got four simple points I want to challenge you on. Have you ever thought, what do non-Christians think about Thanksgiving? Think about the word thanksgiving. It means that you've got to find something to be thankful for. My experience is most unbelievers are not thankful people. And then secondly, who do they give thanks to? It's got to be a hard holiday for them. Got to be difficult. So let's go to our first point, which is simply this. It's a personal challenge. Look at what Paul says to us. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us, for you, in Christ Jesus. One of the things I will do if I'm talking to someone that doesn't understand the Christian faith, I will take him to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and I'll say, substitute your name. For God so loved Patrick. For God so loved Barbara. God knows us by name. And here, what Paul is saying, he's challenging you personally by name. And he knows the struggles you're going through. You're not alone. He knows what you're up against. He knows the battles in your life and the struggles in your life. But it's for us, concerning you. He is addressing the church at Thessalonica. We'll talk about the issues they're going through in just a moment. He knew every one of those church members by name as he addressed it. And he's telling them, I know what you're going through. Some of you Marriage is hurting, but you have a thankful spirit toward God. Finances are upside down in your life, but you have a thankful spirit toward God. Regardless what is going on, it's not for everybody else. Paul says it is for you. The story is told in the gospel that one day while Jesus is ministering, he came upon a group of lepers. For those who may not be familiar with the disease of leprosy, it is a skin disorder that covers the person in boils and sores, and oftentimes fingers and toes just fall off. Ears will fall off. It is hideous and very infectious. And because of that, people who had leprosy could not be around other people. As a matter of fact, they always stayed together in groups. That way they could encourage each other. And they always carried pans or something with them. So when they walked down the street, they would clang the pan and be crying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," or basically, "Stay away from us. You don't want what we've got." There was a group that came upon Jesus. And Jesus healed them of the leprosy. One of them came back and said, "Thank you, Lord." And Jesus said, "But where are the other nine?" He notices when we don't pause to give thanks. He observes when we tend to complain because we don't get what we want, but then we don't turn to give thanks for what he has done for us. Have you ever known those people that are just complainers? Have you ever known them? Always finding fault, always nothing ever going right. I was in McDonald's 2 days ago. I was sitting there eating, and there was a conversation at a table going on behind me. It was a group of older men. I wasn't associated with older men, but it was a group of older men. But there was one voice in particular that stood out, kind of abrasive and loud, and I had never heard the voice. And this is the story he told. He said, "A couple of years ago, I was going to make a ham for Thanksgiving." He said, "And I wanted it to taste like a honey-baked ham. Have you ever had a honey-baked ham? Oh, they're good." He said, "I wanted it to taste like a honey-baked ham. So I called the honey-baked ham office and asked him for the recipe." I'm thinking, "You what?" He said, "And can you believe it? They wouldn't give it to me." He said, "So I went to a honey-baked ham on the town I was in vacationing in. I asked them for the recipe. They wouldn't give it to me." And I'm telling you, he's just complaining up one side and down the other. He said, "So here's what I did." This is what he told these other guys. He said, "When it got to be the holiday season, I went to him asking him for a part-time job." He said, "They gave me a part-time job." He said, "And on the very first day, they put me back there with the hams, preparing the hams." And he said, "I got to see the spices that they use and everything they used on the ham." And he said, "When I saw it and got it in my mind, I said, 'Excuse me, I need to go get something out of my car.' And I never went back." I'm thinking, "And you're telling the story?" There are some people feel like they're entitled to everything. The grace of God is given to us freely, not because we deserve it, but because God loves us. And we need to be appreciative wherever we are, whatever we have. And I know that, again, I know there are some of you struggle. There may be things that you feel like that you would like to buy for your family, but you can't. There might be some food you would like to put on the table, but you feel like you can't afford it. Maybe at Christmas time you would really like to shower your children and grandchildren with some gifts that you can't. You have a choice. You can complain about it, find fault with it, sing the poor me song, or you can do the best you can and say, God, thank you that I can do this. God, thank you for my grandchildren. And you can pour your grandchildren together and you can tell them about the love of God. Tell them about the first Thanksgiving birthed in such poverty and anguish, but they pause to give thanks and teach the importance of Thanksgiving. Because I'm going to tell you, nothing that you buy is going to take and last anyway. But if you can teach a thankful spirit that you have to others, that is a gift that lives on. So the first point, again, is a simple point. It's a personal challenge to you. This verse is to you. Give thanks in every circumstances you find yourself in. If you get fired, God, thank you that I had the job, and thank you you're going to find me a better one. If you go to the doctor and he gives you bad news, thank God that at least you found out what's wrong. And you're in a good place to find out, and they can take care of you. All right. Number two, it's a difficult challenge. I'm not going to pretend it's easy to give thanks when circumstances in your life have gone in every other direction. It requires, you know what being able to give thanks in all circumstances requires? Now, this is a hard word, but it shouldn't surprise you to hear it in church. The word is faith. Faith. Faith that I have a God who is in control. And if He has allowed this in my life, then He knows best. I know that sometimes that we battle with faith because we want to live by sight instead of faith. We want to see the hard things happening around us and gauge our attitude on those when, in fact, the Word teaches us that we should have faith in the midst of everything going on in our life. And I know it's not easy. There's a verse in Hebrews 13:15. Have you got that, David? Excuse me, Romans 8:28. Let's back up there. I jumped ahead. And we know that all things work together for good. This is Paul. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, some people would say, well, what does Paul know about my circumstance? What has Paul ever been through? Well, the first thing I want you to understand, Paul is addressing this to the Christians in Thessalonica. They're undergoing Roman persecution. They are losing jobs. They are being removed from their society, and some are losing their life. But as Paul speaks this, listen to a brief part of what Paul shares about his own life. This is in the book of 2 Corinthians. Five times, Paul says, I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, like Jesus did. Five times. Three times, he said, I have been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and when you're stoned, you're left for dead. Three times I was in a shipwreck. Listen to this. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Wow. That meant he was in the ocean, up and down for a night and a day. Paul continues, I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in the danger of bandits, danger from the Gentiles, my own countrymen. I have labored night and day, often gone without sleep. I know hunger and thirst. Often I am without food. I have been cold and naked. And what does he say? In everything, give thanks. Paul and Silas are preaching in Philippi. They are incarcerated because as they preach, people's lives are changing and impacting those in the city. They're beaten and imprisoned. And while they're beaten and imprisoned, you know what they did? They sang hymns of thanksgiving. Why? For being beaten? Well, no. For being in prison? No. You look past the circumstances to see the God that is there and the God that loves you. And if you know the story, God sent an earthquake, shook the prison, all the gates swung open and a great revival broke out. But what we need to understand is this, even when things are bad, we need to be grateful. Oh, we need to be so grateful, even when it's hard. Number three is a costly challenge. It requires us to be thankful in the midst of our circumstances. Paul says that we should give thanks. And sometimes we just don't feel like giving thanks, do we? Have you ever felt like all that you want to do is just lay there and moan? Somebody comes over, all you want to do is complain. And when you've truly gone through adversity, when you have lost someone that you loved so dearly, a spouse, a child, and your heart is broken, Paul still says, we are to give thanks. Hebrews 13, 15, David. The author says, through Jesus, therefore, let us offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess his name. It is a sacrifice, and I know it is sometimes. It is difficult when you stand with someone who is weeping to tell them, you need to tell God thank you. Not for the death you've suffered, but that he is here with you in the midst of it. And that he has prepared a place that you're loved one that has just left you and you will one day be reunited. Thanksgiving is not an attitude. It is more than that. It may be birthed in an attitude, but thanksgiving is an action. It's an action that we have in conversation when we're around a group of people that are just complaining. And we want to stop and pause. And I have been in churches before to where when it should be a Thanksgiving meeting, instead it's just a fault-finding meeting. Someone needs to always speak up and say, we need to give thanks and we need to give God praise. We need to thank God with our voice. And we need to thank God with our gifts. We had, I believe, 140, Gene, is that right? 140 shoeboxes. And I know that for most of us, buying a shoebox didn't stretch our budget that far. Now, for some of you, maybe it did. But to the child who gets this, it can be life transforming. I doubt if there's anything inside here that's going to transform our life, except perhaps a message of Christ. But what it says is that someone's thinking about you. Someone loves you. You have value. And that's why you're being given this, because you have value. And I know, as we have learned from some of the testimonies that we have heard from Samaritan's Purse, oftentimes when these are given out, churches spring up because they recognize this great God that loves them that much. We do it through our giving. We've been preaching this entire last month about the treasure principle. And we passed out to a number of y'all, y'all can tell I'm a Southern boy, can't you? To another of y'all, these simple treasure principle envelopes that you would take and decide where you want to put a treasure in your life. Is some of the different ministries going on here to help for the shoeboxes or other things? And every family needs to have one. I'm going to set these right over here. Ginger, would you mind setting them here? Because when we go to eat, we're all going through this door here. And I want this setting right here so you walk by, and if you don't have it, you'll pick up one. You see, we thank God with our voice, but we also thank God when we give. God, I thank you for what you've given to me. Now, I want to give back, because it's not just about me. We can be sometimes, how sometimes we must disappoint our Heavenly Father with our attitude. We go out to eat, and they didn't cook the steak just right, so we complain. Wonder how many people would love to have a bite of steak, regardless how it's cooked. We go shopping, ladies, and I'm certain that it's not any of you, and you're looking for the right pair of shoes to go with an outfit you got, and you just can't find the right shoes. We can be such a complaining people about the most minor and minute things. Israel, the descendants of Abraham, the same people who today occupy the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, were taken into Egypt as slaves. They spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt, working under heavy taskmasters. God sent Moses to deliver them. Moses come down, and that's where we get into the 10 plagues, the flies and the lice and the blood and everything. And it convinced Pharaoh to let these Israelites go. They're going to Canaan, a fertile land that God has prepared for them. And so off they go, and they're singing, and they're marching off to Canaan we go. And they get along, and lo and behold, it's not easy in the wilderness. And you know what they do? They begin to complain. They begin to complain. They don't have as much water as they want. God sends them food to eat, but they don't like the food after a while. God sends them quail to eat. They complain about the quail. God told Moses they are just a complaining, murmuring group of people. And we, especially in this country of ours, Complaining should never come across our lips. A number of years ago, my wife Ginger and some friends took a trip to China. One of the friends that went with, well, took a trip to China. I'm not going to call any names. They all had their fanciful ideas of what it would be like on their trip to China. Vacation and fun, so they boarded and flew jets and landed in Beijing. And then they boarded a train for Ginger. How long was the train trip? What? A 20-hour train trip. And we're not talking soft cushioned seats. It was a coal-powered locomotive. Soot from the coal drifted in through the windows and the windows that were out and filled the compartment. There was a stench in this train. It was nasty. Finally, some of them said, "Where's the bathroom?" So there's a car down here for using the bathroom. So they went down and they go into this car and you know what kind of facilities they had? Holes in the floor. That was it. And the food, didn't like half the food. And on the way back, one of them made this statement: "I will never complain again about what I don't have." For the old adage, "I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man that had no feet." Giving thanks to God may not be an easy thing for you, but it is necessary. The author and pastor, Max Lucado, tells a story about when he was spending some time in Brazil. He was teaching there at a seminary for a brief while, and he said, "You've got to understand," he said, "there are beggars everywhere." He said, "Children especially." And he said, "You just kind of get to a point, you just walk by them and walk upon your business." He said, "One day, a child came up to him and just grabbed his pants leg and stopped him." He said, he looked down at the boy, who was probably 5 or 6. Said he had the darkest brown eyes, but a dirty face. And he paused and looked down at the boy, and the boy just said, "Please, sir, some food, some bread." He said, "I looked at the boy." He said, "Because the need is so great and you can't help them all, sometimes you feel like you can't help any." He said, "But this particular boy touched my heart." He said, "I reached down and took him by his hand and took him into a pastry shop where I was going to get some coffee." He said, "I walked inside. I told the girl behind the counter, 'You get this boy any pastry he wants.'" He said, "And I went on down and got my coffee and had a seat." Because he said, virtually every time that you give them something, they grab it and they run. So he said, "I sit down, I was drinking my coffee, and I felt somebody behind me." And he said, when he looked back, that boy was standing behind him. And he said, "So I stood to my feet and turned it," and he said, "the boy's eyes were about at my belt buckle." And he said, slowly he turned his gaze upward and met my eyes. Said he had a pastry in each hand. And he looked up at me and said, "Thank you, sir. Thank you for my food." He said, "In all the years I've been here," he said, "no one's ever thanked me." He said, with that, he walked out. He said, I sat back down just to contemplate what had happened. He said, I was 25 minutes late for class. But he said, it made me feel so guilty that sometimes I have a complaining spirit. And yet this young boy was so thankful for just a couple of pastries. He said, it might be the only thing he has to eat that day and the next day. We need to have a thankful spirit, even in the midst of everything that's going on. Number four is a transforming challenge. If you will learn, allow God to give you a thankful spirit, it will change you, and it will change your heart. Again, giving thanks builds our faith. Giving faith can change those around us. So an article the other day about a man that lives up around the Great Lakes, and he said it was a horrible winter for snow. He said it seemed like it was snowing every day and just mounding up. He said every day he seemed like he was out there with a shovel having to shovel snow. And he said as he's out there one day shoveling the snow, he notices the postman walking through the snow house to house. So he says to the postman, you must really hate this snow, don't you? He said, you have to be out in it every day. He said, well, actually, sir, I'm thankful that I have a job. He said, I'm thankful that I have the health to get out and deliver mail. He said, yes, it's hard. But he said, I will not complain about it. What do we do when things aren't going right in our life? Who do we encourage by giving thanks? Who do we lift up by giving thanks? Giving thanks becomes spiritual therapy in our life. Let me share with you one final scripture verse. If you're struggling to find something to be thankful for, Paul says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, and he's speaking of Christ. Can you just imagine Paul in the ocean, treading water, or maybe holding to a part of a ship for a day and a night? But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul tied to a post, his shirt ripped from his back and lashed 40 times, but the Jews, to be merciful, only lashed 39 times. He said it happened 5 times to him. Beaten with rods, stoned to death, and yet Paul still says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And he tells us in everything, in every circumstance, give thanks. Take your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off the report the doctor gave you. Get your eyes off the bill from the electric company. Put your cell phone down and quit texting that person that you're having conflict with. And say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you are my God and that you love me. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that indescribable gift. It's not that we don't have anything to be thankful for. We just sometimes choose to focus on the problems in our life. You have a great God that loves you. He loves you infinitely. And He wants to just hear you sometimes say, thank you. He wants you to be like that boy who's just been given a couple of pastries to turn around and say, thank you, sir. Thank you. And do you know what Max Lucado said? He said, when that boy turned back around and said thank you to me, he said, if I'd thought about it ahead of time, he said, I would have bought him every pastry in that shop and given it to him. And I just wonder, what will God do for us? What, instead of hearing us complain about what we don't have, we turn around and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How His blessings might be bestowed upon us. Let's pray together. Father God, You've been merciful to us. You have provided for us and met our needs. For that we are most grateful. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would prick us with conviction when we are tempted to complain or find fault. Help us, Father, to turn our attention to what we have received instead of what we lack. Help us to tell others of Your bounty in our life. And help us, Father, to often praise You and acknowledge You as the giver of our life and our sustainer. For us in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. And amen.